Acknowledge the brokenness in spirit and humility. And God says, with this one, I will stay. I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. So I just felt that God is saying that to all of us, but to some people personally. Imagine my two kids are back there, and they caused a bit of a havoc during the prayer session beforehand, which I apologize for. I apologize if it offended you. I don't feel bad at all, but anyway. But in the same way, I just feel that imagine me having, you've all seen these English movies, old English movies, and in fact that was the philosophy of the day in the 1700s and 1800s in England, throughout Europe, that a man would have a relationship with his parents, be tutored by someone else, and at times you may join them at the dinner table after dinner for dessert, you know, if they feel like it. Imagine having a relationship with your dad like that, that is the extent. And that's the invitation. God says, I don't want a formalistic relationship with you. I don't want a formal relationship with you. I don't want this soul like I do this, this, do this. Let's do life. Let's do life together. And that's just what I feel God is saying to some people.
Welcome, church. It feels like I want to say that again. Sitting there, I thought I might just say amen and let the ministry time start. So I think you should just look to the person next to you and say, hey, yes, a lack of means. Just quickly do that. That'd be all a bit. Go. And you must be honest, eh? It must be a lack of means. Yeah, what a privilege to be in the Father's house tonight as brothers and sisters. And sitting there, I really felt like in intercession, and my you can put the first slide up. Yeah, okay, wow. The title was Let's Build. And now Ross said I must do it in 2 weeks, two series, so next week will be Let's Build. But I really felt convicted with that. Noah, let's walk before we build. So just everything before I actually started now is basically my sermon for tonight. So I'm sitting there and I'm just like, yo, thank you, Jesus. But yeah, sitting here tonight, standing here, it feels like I'm sitting. I really felt just this atmosphere of coming together and God telling us, Hawkeye, stop, Ilori. Just stop. Just stop. And I was so tempted to put a bit of building in that sermon because that's my character. You know, let's build. Okay, my cool klaar gesit, nou gaat ons weer. And I really, really trust tonight that God will come and meet you where you are at, and He's not in a rush. And I'm not going to keep you here till 12, don't worry. But going out of this, just knowing God's not in a rush with you. He's not in a rush. And He says, like Stefan also said, thank you, Brian Adams, here I am. I'll be waiting here. And before in intercession, Nyameka also spoke about patience. So yeah, let's learn how to wait on God. But let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are a good Father. Oh God, I pray for every weary heart in this house tonight. I pray for every slave mentality. I pray against striving. And I trust for overflowing. Come and fill us tonight again, Lord. Thank you that we can just fix our eyes on you again. And thank you that the joy of you will be our strength and nothing else. And, yeah, we just give this time to you. Yeah, and let your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we can go to the first slide. And I wanted to show you why I said let's walk. And it's these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. I don't know about you guys, but if I think about the story of Noah, I never thought of Noah walking with God. I saw Noah building the ark. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of copper wood. So verse 14 we'll get to next week, the building part. But for now, I want to focus on the context of where Noah is here in a corrupted world. And if you might feel tired today looking around you, being there at Delft today as well, the violence and the crime and our country, and if you feel maybe you're in your family, where you're at, I think we sometimes very aware that we are living in a corrupted world. It's kind of the same context here. And I want to ask the question, how can we be blameless and righteous in this context that we are living in? And then I just realized, I want to say, let's build endurance, perseverance, the joy of the Lord's our strength, let's go. But what we miss is before all of that, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And we tend to run. And if you think about the ark, there's so much detail they can build it today. There's so much detail captured in scripture that they can actually build the ark today. So I ask myself sometimes, yo, can God trust me with insight? Would I be able, if he said build the ark, would I be able to sit and wait for the detail? Or would I just be like, woo, go? And then on the other hand again, thinking about building an ark, I'll be like, excuse what? And waiting for 10 confirmations, fear of man, unworthiness, that person can do it. So it's in this tension that we are at. But I really want to get the 4 points tonight is actually let's get comfortable. And I don't think you'll ever hear that in church. Because especially in Shofar, we need to get out of that comfort zone. But we should get comfortable with a few things. We should start getting comfortable to walk with God, to walk with him, to be quiet with him, to receive his love. You need to get comfortable that God loves you and that God wants to use you. You need to get comfortable about that idea. I want to share two stories. I told him we must hang on that slide for a while. We're not going to take that long for each slide. But I want to start with two stories. In my MDiv year, I studied theology. And we went on this camp where they taught us how to be silent. And then we weren't allowed to even speak at dinner. You're allowed to speak the first time, like at breakfast the next morning. And then every day you had to have quiet time from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock. So the first day, you know, I have some like writing a letter to God, the praying list I want to pray, okay, where I'm going with scripture. But there, day 2, day 3, you're getting like creak, creak, you know, type of vibe. And I remember I think it was day 3 or something, 2 o'clock, it was there, and I thought, yo, I'm really not amped for this 4 hours now, like, yo. So I thought, okay, I'm going to put in worship music in my ears, and I'm going to, you know, pump myself up for this thing, I can do it. And I was putting it in my ears, and I was walking, and as I'm walking, these thoughts came clearly to mind. Please take it out. Please take it out. So I took it out, and I'm walking now, and it was on this farm we were at, and now I'm walking, and I'm walking like 10 seconds of silence or something, and then I started praying, and I'm like, yo, God, and then in my mind again, it came clearly. Please, shh. And in that moment, I just felt like, if you think about your best friend tonight, do you have to talk the whole time to that person? In the place where you feel safe, do you feel like you have to talk the whole time? Do you feel like you have to earn that place the whole time? So what does that reflect of my relationship with God? And I was walking, and that day, I almost want to cry again now, but it was so special. Walking up there, I did start crying about things I never knew I wanted to cry about, but finally I had time to cry about it. And it's very hard for us to get to that place. It's very hard to get comfortable with the idea that God loves you and that God sees you as blameless and righteous. Why? Because Jesus came. He sent his son for you to be blameless and righteous. We don't have any excuse. So let's go to the next slide. Get comfortable to walk with God. And this is a cool thing. So I did some research and I'm like, Noah, what does the name Noah means? And it means rest and comfort. Literally, that's the Hebrew meaning of Noah. Rest and comfort, okay? So think about this. The guy in the Bible who built the ark, which wasn't small, his name means rest. The guy who built, his name means rest. And that is challenging. So from which place should we build? Out of rest. Thank you, Amen, brother. So get comfortable to walk with God. And I believe in that place, in that relationship, in that walking, God wants to come and tell you who you are. He wants to come and tell you what is important in you. And you might sit here tonight and you feel like, Suzelle, I really don't feel I hear God's voice. I feel so far away. I don't know how to get back to that track. And I want to tell you, like I always say, if you think thoughts that you don't want to thought, then you think you don't want to thought it, think it, and you think it, and you think it, and you're like, ah. But I trust tonight that you can, if you just sit and say, think it if you want, then just be with God. Because I saw a lot of pictures, and this one God also reminded me of. We're like children in a house coming in, asking your father or your mom, can I wash the dishes? Can I quickly go and snij die gras? What's the lawn? Does I? Can I quickly do this for you? Can I quickly do that for you? And if you see that child and you see another child who's like, there's a relationship. And I think we're like that child running, washing dishes, just so freaking tired, trying to juggle balls, and it's like, I'm gonna let it fall, that's not so hard, I'm gonna let this balls fall, and I think God wants to say, that's where I want it, on the floor, let it fall, and let me pick it up, because I want to show you the balls I actually had for you. But you were just like all over the place right now. So trust that he's saying, what is that identity? And the second story I don't think that was meant to be on the slides. That's for me to remember the two stories. But the second story was yesterday. And this first 6 months was quite hectic for me. In a new place, new season in almost every category of my sphere of my life. And yesterday, it's the first weekend I'm just like a bit rustig. So I decided, I used to have this thing of like, called it a Jesus date in Stellenbosch. Then I would just go, don't matter if I'm alone, I'm just going to go and like walk on the beach and hang. And I realized it's hard for me to do that now. It's like, you know, and yesterday I decided, I phoned a lot of people, but it was last minute. No one could come and jog with me. So I was like, okay, I'm getting the message. So I decided I'm going to go to Meerendal and walk or jog a little bit and then walk. And as I was walking, and this is now the other part, I'm like, God, then what? I was in such a frustrated place. I was like, God, what are you asking from me then? Like, what are you asking? Just talk to me again. Like, what? And as I was walking, I saw a little guy playing. And he's sitting there, but I won't put him on the spot. I saw a guy playing there at the dam. I don't know if you know Merendal, but there's like this berg dingetjie. And then Jevelkie. And then he was playing with Kleilat. And I almost cried because I'm such a farm girl. And walking there, I'm just like, yo. I just saw him. And as I was walking, this my own sermon came to mind. And God said, let's walk. Let's walk. And I was walking and coming, and I realized I want to go back to that child. He's alone, I'm alone. I'm gonna go and chat with him. And we started a conversation. And you know the restaurant there at the top? So I really wanted a cappuccino there. So now I'm walking and no one can come. And at one point I'm like, do you want a milkshake? And there we sat. He drank our chocolate. I drank a cappuccino. And I met his dad. And they're all here in church tonight. And I was like, why am I rushing? And what am I missing? Because I'm so focused. Getting your social status maybe up. Or you're not even focused on that intentionally. But it's like, no, where am I going? What am I going to do today? It's like, no, let's walk. Let's see where this day is going. When last did you just see where a day will go? And I'm not saying don't have any vision, just like, let's see where this day is going. But I think we need to get a bit back in terms of where we're heading and where we're running. And I thought about it. I don't think God has ever been in a rush. He could have like said, and that was good, and made the whole earth in one day and everything and da-da-da. No. And you know what? The seventh day, he rested. But no, we don't need rest. Like, God, you can rest. We don't need rest. And we get into this thing, and it feels like a spiral we're getting into. But you know what the cliche is? It's like a sword. We're fighting with this thing. The irony, not the cliche. But we're fighting with this sword. And what God's asking you is to go and sit and sharpen that sword. And it might feel like wasting time because it's in front of you and you need to fight. But you know, you'll do a lot more in one day than you would have in 1 year. But we think we need to fight. So let's get comfortable to walk with God before we start building. And in that relationship, you'll earn trust. And I think if you think about you're in front of a choice tonight, or if it feels rushed, I don't think you have to rush into it, to be honest. I think where God is leading you, he makes the paths clear and he opens it up. But sometimes we don't like the path he's opening up. And then we're like, no, I don't hear God's voice. No. And I don't know, no, I'm just going to work there. And then I have to. So I trust that we can Hawkeye and just listen and ask, what does he want us to see? And then the next slide is waiting for the rainbow, but we're missing the rain. What do you think was Noah's confirmation? The rainbow in the end, or when it started raining? And I want to read that. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Have you ever thought how the door closed of the ark? Like, wie moest die deur toemaak? Oh, well, there it is. Then the Lord shut him in. And the other translation actually translated as door. But then for 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. A miracle of a closed door, the rain, and order in the ark. That's the other thing. If Noah was so focused on the rainbow in the end, and I don't think he was. I don't think he was. But then think of this miracle, like a rhinoceros and then a rabbit behind it, and there's order, like lions and There's and bokke, or I don't know how that worked. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. But that's a miracle in itself. But no, we want the rainbow. And before we see the rainbow, we don't do nothing. But I think there's a lot of stuff right in front of you. I think there's a kid playing with clay that we miss in our lives. Because we're waiting for the rainbow, but we don't see the 40 days of rain right in front of our face. And then the next one, thanks, Vian. Get comfortable in a boat without a steering wheel or windows. Hashtag surrender. Look at that. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 45 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Look at this. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build 3 decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. But look at that. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof. That was the opening. That's how they, 18-inch below the roof. So getting into that thing, that ark. So I'm asking myself that question. Was it about the view and the destination for Noah? And I think for us, I mean now, build the ark. I mean, come on, can I just get a view? Can I like, or at least, I don't think I wanted to see what's happening outside though. But if we think about this story of Noah, there's so many things that we miss. Why? Because we rush through the story. Remember it of our childhood. And even in the word, we're missing the child who plays with the clay or the that stuff. But yeah, so what is it about if it's not the view in the destination? In Matthew 7 verse 21 or something, it says, but God, I cast out demons in your name. I did this, I did this. He said, depart from me, I do not know you. God is longing for a relationship. He's longing for you to get comfortable that he loves you. And you know what's the irony of that? When you receive it, you will have more courage to step out of your comfort zone. That is the beauty of it. And that is the not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. That is the unconditional love, because you've actually received something that you can give. That is the working as a son and daughter of our Father and not as a slave, striving to get into heaven, striving for acceptance. And you're not even serving doing that, because you're actually doing it for yourself. So God is longing to say, stop worrying about the destination. Stop worrying about the view. Stop worrying about what makes sense in your head. And worry about the fact that I love you. And worry about the fact that I want to use you in this generation. But are you willing? Are you willing to put your faith out? In Hebrews, Noah has spoken about a man of faith. Who did this? He built it without seeing the rain. Do you have that faith? Let's trust God tonight that when the storms come and all our buildings and all our stuff we build it on for how many years, just will our faith stand in that storm? Build your faith before we build the ark. Let's build our faith. And then the next slide. Trust and patience. I quickly want to show you this, like when you want to build and then when God builds. And this is a parable of the Tower of Babel and Abram. So first, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verses. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And I think we all know how that went. Like, but you know what's courageous? You know what makes you courageous? It's to trust God to fight for you. To trust God to build. To wait on Him. That's what makes you courageous. To spend time in His Word. To get to know Him. And to share that. That's what makes you courageous. You can build a tower of Babel. But He says, I will make your name great. But how would your life look differently? I ask myself this question sometimes. I'm like, yo, what would I have done in this situation if I really, really, really believe God lives? If I believe God lives right now, I do believe He lives. Don't understand me correctly, but sometimes my actions don't show that I believe He lives, because I would have surrendered much easier if I truly believe He's here. And I want you to sit just there where you are and think about Jesus when He came to earth as a person. And think, suppose Jesus was sitting right next to you tonight. Like, or you are walking somewhere and Jesus is walking right next to you. Right next to you. He's here. He's walking next to you. Tomorrow, wherever you're going, Jesus Christ is walking next to you. How would your life look? How would your day look tomorrow? You know what? He's not next to you. He's in you. He's in you. And He's longing for you to get comfortable that He loves you and that He wants to use you. And that He wants to show you that you will do even greater things than He did. And are we going to be asked to build an ark tomorrow? No, I don't think so. But you know what? The thing that God might ask you will be your ark. And it might feel that impossible. But no, He's not even just next to you. He's in you. But work on that relationship. Build that trust. Build that faith. Something that will actually stand when the storm comes. And then the next slide. Get comfortable with the rain. I think I left out my hashtag patience there. But anyway. So, I never used hashtags, just saying, but I thought it's a nice ring too. Okay. So, at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. So that was now the story where he sent forth and back and then. But I want you to, from verse 10, he waited another 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening. And behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. So that is now when he sent out the raven, came back without a leaf. And then, but now here, even when he waited after that, so the waters is clearing up now. But then after that, then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from the off the earth. So if I think about Noah's patience, I'm like, yo. I think God's not talking to me or what. And he's actually like, you can either think that or you can think, yo, more time getting to know God. More time walking with God in this ark. It's our choice. And the other thing is the door that shut. I also want to say some. If you feel tonight that the door keep on closing on you, in which area of your life? There's a door that keeps on closing. It can be relationships. It can be work, it can be identity issues, family stuff. The door keeps on closing. Stop seeing it as a door closed from paradise and start seeing it as a door closed from a flood you're being protected of. Start trusting God that He actually knows best, that He actually wants to help you, that He actually knows what you are actually asking Him, because He created you. You might think you know what you want. He knows better. Yeah, it's best. Okay, next slide. Get comfortable to look crazy, hashtag obedience. Think about Noah. So in that, which we already read, these are the generation Noah walked, and they, where it was like filled with violence, and the earth was corrupt. But then look at, was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. So that meant he wasn't looking like the norm around him. He wasn't looking at the norm. And look at this courageous, in verse 22, after he said, "Behold, make an ark for yourself." Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And Preston Morrison, I actually got the shutting door thing of him as well. He preached about Noah, and that was so beautiful. And the crazy stuff that he also said. But he said this as well. He said, "Obedience is so much better than your best strategy to get wherever you think you're going." And it might look, it might feel that it's completely on the wrong track. But you know, sometimes we feel like if you think tonight, this is my calling, like that is the destination I feel like I need to go. It might feel like you're going in that direction at the moment, but it doesn't make sense. But someone explained this one time to me, and it says, say for example, it's that door where you're going. You feel like that is where you need to go, but it keeps on feeling like you're going this way. There might be a key there which God wants to give you, so that when you get to that door, you can actually open it. But we want to go there. But God's like, it's not about the destination. It's not about the view. Let's build character, fetching the key and go. You know, you can have the biggest calling on your life. If you don't have the character to carry it, it won't last. And this earth is like, net sweriki. Let's make our treasures in the, let's build our treasures in heaven. So the next slide is, before we start building, which we will look at next week, let's get comfortable to walk with God, to build an ark without a steering wheel, to look crazy, and let's get comfortable with the rain, patience, and see it. The rain. And I want to end off tonight there, because I really want us to, if it's okay, just sing two more songs and spend time in worship. And if you feel tonight like one of those people, like I'm feeling like a headless chicken running around. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm hearing what you say, Cecile, but there's a wall between me and Jesus. I don't get it. I don't get comfortable with Him loving me. If it feels like you can't receive anything, if people want to affirm you, you struggle to receive it, you struggle to receive. If you feel like you are so scared of being alone one Friday evening, having nothing planned for that evening, if that terrifies you, I want you to come and just kneel. You don't even have to come to the front or grab someone. There will be some facilitators here if you want to pray with someone. But just stay where you are. Go on your knees. Just sit, whatever you want to do. But let's walk with God. And think about your week. Before we start talking about building, think about your week. How you can make more time. How you can be less rushed. Sometimes we drive and we think we need to go somewhere. And if you think just a little bit more about it, you realize you don't actually have to do this. But you're so in the rhythm of rushing. Go and evaluate your week this week. And how you can slow down and walk with God. He doesn't want to run with you. He wants to walk with you. going to end off in prayer. And yeah, I really want to encourage you guys. We'll be here if you need prayer. And just sit there. They can play. You don't even have to stand and sing. You can just sit. You can stand, whatever you want. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you for time with you tonight, Lord. Thank you that we can think about who you are before what we need to do. I pray for each heart sitting here tonight. I pray that you will come and show us how you see us, Lord. I pray that we will get to know you, the one in whose image we are created. So how are we going to know who we are if we don't know you? God, I pray for wisdom tonight in this place. I pray for discernment to show us which yokes that we put on ourselves. I pray for discipline. I pray for quiet time. I pray for a hunger for your word. I pray for a hunger to spend time with you. I pray for contentment to know that we are enough. When we sang that song, Your Grace is Enough, I pray that we will mean it. I pray that we will receive it so that we can give something real. Show us how, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are in this place, and thank you that we are all on a journey. But help us to click something tonight about this. Come and reveal lies. Lift the veils. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that there's freedom in this place. Help us to overflow again. We say sorry for all the towers of Babel that we are busy building. Help us, God. We need you. And we receive your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, I changed around the lyrics of this chorus in practice by mistake. But it actually might just be relevant to some of us. Instead of singing, the universe declares your majesty, I said, the universe declares your love for me. And instead of saying, Father holy, I said, Father hold me. And I just thank you, God, for the love that you have for us. And that everything that is made is for our enjoyment. And sometimes, God, our problems seem so big, but we underestimate how big you are. That you are the Lord of heaven and earth. That you measure the universe in the spans of your hands. And Lord, that somehow, even though you are so big, God, you know us by name, and that you love us, and yet you love every hair that is on our heads, Lord. So help us to trust you, Lord, in this week. Help us to relax and to rest in you, Jesus, and to enjoy you, Lord God. We thank you for this word, Lord, and I pray, God, that it would burn in each one of our hearts, Lord, that we wouldn't forget the boys and the girls that we are in this room, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You guys are welcome to go and enjoy coffee. I just felt in my heart, if you are here tonight and you don't know the God that I'm talking about, and you've never said yes to him, or you want to surrender to him, please just come and touch my arm, and I would love to pray for you, or Philip, if it's a guy, or Ilana at the back, or small group leaders, if you can also just be here, or anyone, any child of God sitting here tonight can pray for you. But if that's you tonight and you just feel like, I want to know what you're talking about, but I don't, please come. Don't miss on this opportunity. Okay, thanks guys. Enjoy your evening.